Secular scientists claim they've found a new reason to believe that life could have come from space. What they're talking about is carbon found in a meteorite that landed in Mexico over 30 years ago. Did they really find life in this space rock? Stay tuned.
Carbon-containing molecules in a meteorite has nothing to do with the origin of life, not related to it in any way.
This is Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal. I'm Chris O'Brien with the Institute for Creation Research.
It seems that secular scientists are always searching for the origin of life and spending millions of dollars doing so. Wouldn't it just be easier to look where the answer is found? It's in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, which says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Join us for the next 15 minutes, won't you, as we examine the claim of life molecules from space. The space debris in question is the famed Allende meteorite, which fell near the town of Allende, Mexico, in 1969. This meteorite has been examined for decades and could possibly be the most studied rock on Earth. Dr. John Morris is president of ICR.
They have dissected this rock and analyzed it from one end to the other. And in fact, they use this rock. This is the key to understanding the age of the Earth. They say that since this rock, this meteorite, dates at 4.6 billion years old, and in their theory that this was formed at the same time as the solar system and planet Earth, that means that the Earth is 4.6 billion years old. They cannot date any rock on planet Earth that's that old because they said it was a fireball and there was no rock. But the meteorite formed at that same time, so therefore this rock is how they date the Earth.
But there's a problem with that theory.
But you know, I've studied that rock, and they actually have analyzed every mineral, everything about that rock, and every piece of it that they date comes to a different date, and these widely varying dates. I mean, who's kidding who? They've picked one of about 50 dates and said, that's the date of the meteorite, that's the date of the Earth. This is bad science.
So what do scientists find in meteorites? Dr. Danny Faulkner is professor of astronomy and physics at the University of South Carolina at Lancaster.
Some things they found in the past are amino acids. Carbon and oxygen and nitrogen and hydrogen are pretty common in these carbonaceous chondrite meteorites. Water's been found, other chemicals. Amino acids get people excited because those are fundamental building blocks of life.
Recently, carbon compounds called fullerenes were found in the Allende meteorite.
Originally, it was called a Buckminster fullerene. This is named after the late Buckminster Fuller, who was the father of the geodesic dome. And they call the fullerenes this because they typically contain 60 atoms of carbon in each molecule, and they're arranged in the geodesic dome, something like a soccer ball. Sometimes inside there's another atom of some other element.
Dr. Dwayne Gish is executive vice president of ICR.
It's like a soccer ball. It has a shell of these carbon molecules that are bound to one another. And there are many different kinds that have been discovered. And maybe they'll have some practical use. Certainly there's an awful lot of research going on these fullerenes. Again, they're a molecule of many, many carbon atoms in the form of like a soccer ball, shell of that kind.
It's actually the fullerenes that secular scientists are pointing to as a sign of life from space.
Carbon-containing molecules in a meteorite has nothing to do with the origin of life, not related to it in any way. Actually, this is really I'd have to be frank about it. It's just a ridiculous statement. It couldn't be further from the truth. It's nothing but carbon in this material. What relationship does that have to do with life? You don't find fullerenes in living cells or anything like that. This is really an absurd statement for them to make. It has no relationship to the origin of life whatsoever.
Dr. Morris.
Now, the meteorite is real, and it's very interesting. And it contains these fullerenes, these buckyballs, these very complex carbon molecules, which they say are associated with the origin of life. But when they talk about organic molecules like this, what they're really saying is that there is a molecule which has carbon in it. Organic, to me, means living, but this is just a molecule with carbon in it. It's unusual. But it's not living, never was living, and yet they say it's associated with the origin of life. I got to tell you, there's a lot about this that's bad science.
So if there is no life in carbon, why do evolutionary scientists suggest that the fullerene is associated with the origin of life? Dr. Faulkner.
Psychoscientists are always trying to find evidence that life arises in all sorts of places, wherever the conditions happen to be right. And amino acids, when they form, are considered to be foundational. Now, if you can put carbon together in such a complicated fashion, then the fullerenes seem to indicate some sort of life to many scientists. There are several problems. One is the fact that these things are found in minute quantities. The same thing happened with amino acids. It indicates to me, at least, that in these asteroids or these meteorites, that minute traces of the fullerenes could have been found. But it's a far cry from saying life has arisen. Fullerenes themselves, though interesting and chemically, and they have some interesting properties, could be used in certain technologies. They're not really useful to living organisms. They're just a complex organic molecule. And so I think that scientists here, for the most part, have really overestimated the significance of this new discovery. Fullerenes are not necessarily evidence of life. In fact, probably are not evidence of life. They really play no role in life itself.
Dr. Gish.
They're desperate. So now they suggested, well, this stuff must have come from outer space. If we can't find a source here, then it must have come from outer space. Because, you know, they're convinced that life evolved. And I could easily give probably 50 reasons why an evolutionary origin of life on this planet is absolutely impossible. Not of a very low probability, but absolutely impossible. They assume trying to relate this evidence of these fullerenes or carbon-containing molecules to life is absurd. It has no relationship whatsoever. But they always try to do something like that, to use any event of this kind to push this idea of an evolutionary origin of life.
In the mid-90s, another meteorite was the focus of attention. This one had landed in Antarctica years before and was believed to be from Mars. Dr. Morris.
And in this meteorite were tiny little specks that looked like they had been single-cell life. So it was a big thing, life on Mars that was found here on Earth.
Unfortunately, that particular meteorite gave reason for our nation's space program to become more active in looking for life in outer space.
I just saw an article from some scientists who were saying this whole new field of exobiology, biology from outside of Earth, that has been funded mostly from NASA. Their funding has gone up based on that meteorite supposedly came from Mars. But almost as soon as that claim was first made, scientists began to study that meteorite and said, you know, this may have come from Mars, but that's not life. And now you'd have a hard time finding even one scientist that believes that those little particles are really fossilized single-cell organism. They are of strictly inorganic origin entirely, and everybody knows that. But the story's out there, and people are still building on it. The snowball has begun to roll, and much error has come from that.
Dr. Gish agrees that NASA's goal of finding life outside our Earth is a big waste of money.
That's your tax money and my tax money. Hundreds of millions of dollars goes into these research laboratories who are trying to find life in outer space, or they're trying to come to some conclusion on the origin of life. And really, when I first studied this problem 40 to 50 years ago, they were quite optimistic. They felt within a few years, even, they would solve many of these problems involved in the origin of life. Well, today, they are largely pessimistic because none of these problems really has been solved. Even the formation of very simple molecules cannot be produced in the laboratory under any reasonable, plausible, primitive Earth conditions. So they appeal to things like this. From outer space.
Besides the life from outer space studies, how would an evolutionary scientist explain the beginning of life? Dr. Faulkner.
Secular scientists who believe in the natural origin of life on the planet think that you had to get a large number of organic molecules together, such as amino acids and maybe fullerenes, inside of a very concentrated collection of water, and from that life spontaneously arose. How that's supposed to happen has never been cleared up. But that's just kind of an article of faith that people have.
Two spontaneous life theories that evolutionists have embraced are that of primordial soup and geothermal vents.
And the primordial soup refers to a high concentration. At one time, people thought in the early Earth that you know, 4 billion years ago or so that this stuff collected in sort of tidal pool and got real dense and thick. They soon realized that destruction by oxidation and from ultraviolet radiation from the sun and other sources made that very difficult. So for a number of years, scientists believe that the life probably originated around what are called geothermal vents. These are places we find in the some parts of the Earth deep under the ocean where heat is being produced from volcanic activity and boiling water. Scientists generally believe that the early Earth probably had far more of those, and so those were likely sites. These could be places where you could create these organic molecules and then be protected from the sources of destruction.
The problem with evolution's theory about the origin of life is that no one has been able to come up with a totally naturalistic explanation for it. Dr. Gish.
You see, they have despaired in finding evidence for a source of material here on the Earth that could have given rise to the origin of life. There's no evidence that there was a warm soup here on the Earth. They can find nothing of that in the fossil record to indicate that. It should be there if it existed. And the conditions for that here on the Earth now turns out to be very unfavorable. The latest research by geologists has shown that the Earth never had, for example, a methane ammonia atmosphere with hydrogen and so forth. They never had such an atmosphere as evolutionists used to believe, that the best the atmosphere had was carbon dioxide, nitrogen, and water vapor. You don't get anything out of that when you conduct these experiments on the origin of life. And so now they suggested, well, this stuff must have come from outer space. If we can't find a source here, then it must have come from outer space, because, you know, they're convinced that life evolved.
Dr. Faulkner.
No one has been able to come up with a totally naturalistic explanation for the origin of life. Create life, and once you get that, then we can evolve it. But how it exactly got started is the big question for naturalistic scientists. And of course, as creationists, as biblical creationists, we believe that life coming spontaneously from non-life is impossible. The only true answer to origins of life would be from the direct act of God, and there's no primordial soup required. For instance, man was created from the dust of the earth. The creation account talks about living things in the oceans coming from the water itself and from the land itself, the land plants. So God took inorganic, oftentimes, and non-living things and miraculously and instantaneously created them. That's biblical from Genesis 1, and very different from the naturalistic evolutionary idea.
We hope you've been blessed and informed by today's broadcast exposing the false claim of life in meteorites. If you'd like to learn more about today's topic, simply ask for BTG article number 93B when you get in touch with us here at the Institute for Creation Research. The literature is free, and we'd love to hear from you. To ask for today's free offer, please call toll-free 1-800-7-GENESIS. That's 1-800, the number 7, and the word Genesis. And you can address your letters to ICR at P.O. Box 2667, El Cajon, California, 92021. If there's a topic you would like us to cover on the program, then email us at radio@icr.org. ICR's website address is www.icr.org. Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal, is a production of ICR. For the Institute for Creation Research, I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.